By the year 476 AD, the Roman Empire had collapsed completely. The superlative white Roman race, who produced the most splendid civilization in the golden age of classical history, and perhaps to this very day, was for all time wiped from the face of the earth. The Jews did it by feeding the Romans a suicidal new religion. The Romans bought the new poison, hook, line, and sinker, and the victims died from it. The Jews had their revenge. The collapse and destruction of the Roman Empire is undoubtedly the most colossal tragedy in the history of the white race. The original Romans exemplified much that is best in the white race. They were a brave and noble people. The Romans were creative builders and organizers. They were resolute and tenacious, strenuous and indefatigable. Daunted by no reverses or misfortune, they never admitted defeat, having a strong sense of discipline and duty. They were clear-headed, businesslike, and efficient. And finally, they were not a mere fighting race, but one gifted above all others with a genius for consolidating and organizing, and for the forming and administering of laws. Their civilization lasted for 1,000 years. It left the white race a proud legacy of laws, customs, art, sculpture, language, architecture, and government that persist to this very day. Our debt to the now extinct Romans is very great indeed. In contrast to the Romans, the Jews were the very opposite. They never built any civilization, created no art, architecture, sculpture, or anything else of value. Yet the Jews are the oldest surviving race in the world today, who have appeared and reappeared in the histories of all great white peoples, such as the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, etc., for the last 5,000 years. Their most predominant characteristic has been their cunning and deceit in boring into the vitals of other nations, sucking out their lifeblood and destroying them. They are doing just that to the productive white race today, here in America and in the rest of the world. Since the white race as a whole, but especially here in America, is the victim marked for mongrelization and destruction, it behooves us to seriously study our tormentor and find ways and means of warding off the suicidal path on which we, the white race, are now programmed. First of all, let us analyze why the Jews have survived for 5,000 years when more intelligent, more healthy, and powerful nations such as the Romans did not survive. Why did the Carthaginians disappear from the face of the earth when Jerusalem suffered a similar fate, but the inferior Jews survived to destroy the Romans? There are many reasons for this, but the overwhelming reason lies in the Mosaic religion of the Jews, which is tailor-made for this parasitic race. The Mosaic or Judaic religion has bound the Jewish race together in a fanatic loyalty that has not been matched by any other people. It has done more than that. It has given them a purpose and a program that they have pursued tenaciously for the last several thousand years. In essence, that program is to garner unto the Jews all the wealth and riches of the world and to subjugate all other people as slaves to do their bidding. A tall order, but they have been extremely successful and are nearing their ultimate goal. Their Mosaic religion has done more. It has given them a philosophy which has been the core around which they have rallied throughout their long and tumultuous history. Stripped of all the window dressing, that creed essentially boils down to this: what is good for the Jews is the highest virtue. What is bad for the Jews is the ultimate sin. Nothing else matters. The survival and welfare of the Jewish race above everything else. The Romans, on the other hand, had no such religion. True, they had a confusing array of gods: Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, and a host of others. But they meant little to the unity or stability of the Roman race. They gave the Romans no particular creed, no goals, no program, no purpose. Their religion was nothing more than a superstitious indulgence in a world of fantasy. Above all, it did not promote racial loyalty, the one ingredient that must be the core of any creed for the survival of a race. Having no serious or worthwhile religion of their own, the Romans were highly vulnerable to the cunning of the treacherous Jews, who, as we have stated before, are history's masters of deceit and the most insidious and crafty mind manipulators the world has ever known. The Jews had one other advantage. Unlike Carthage, they were not concentrated in a Jerusalem or even in Judea. They were dispersed all over the Roman Empire, parasitically feeding especially on the trade routes and centers of commerce. They dominated the money market, the slave trade, and many other nerve centers of power. Above all, they stuck together like glue. Since the Romans had no good religion of their own and were therefore highly vulnerable, the Jews went about their destruction with a vengeance. They invented Christianity soon after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They invented the horrible concept of hell, like the boogeyman we described earlier, to terrorize and panic their foolish victims into submission. With these formidable weapons, especially the fear of hellfire and torture, they wreaked havoc on the superstitious and the gullible. The victims swallowed the whole package, including the suicidal concepts of sell all thou hast, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, resist not evil, judge not, and a whole passel of other idiotic and suicidal advice. The befuddled Romans, who in their past history had been realistic, down to earth, taking good care of their affairs here on earth, the only place man has ever been known to live, now lost their sense of reality. Instead of pursuing their earthly duties, as Christians their minds now meandered in a fantasy world of spooks. Their empire, their civilization, and their race went down the drain, down the sinkhole of history, never to rise again, with the Jews in control of the wreckage. 1,500 years later, the Jews are still in control of the white race, even after having subjected us to 1,000 miserable years of the Dark Ages. We are still stuck with the same suicidal religion that warped the brains of the Romans and orbited their minds into the unreal world of spooks. In the meantime, the Jews have strongly consolidated their gains. Over the centuries, they have either strengthened or added to their arsenal of weapons with which to exploit and control their victims. Some of these tools, other than religion, are, first, money. The Jews control the gold, the finances, the banks, stock exchanges of the world. Second, propaganda. The Jews control the newspapers, wire services, television networks, movies, book printing and distribution, magazines, and every other meaningful facet of the news and influence-wielding media, both here in the United States and throughout the world. Third, education. How the Jews control and blanket our educational institutions is too broad a subject to cover here. Suffice it to say that they coerce our children by force of law to attend, then indoctrinate and pollute their impressionable young minds with destructive and depraved Jewish ideas, most of which will lead to race mixing and the racial poisoning of our future generations. Fourth, government. Having control of the nation's finances and news media, they control our government and are all over it like a swarm of locusts. This applies to all governments of the world. Their most usual trick is to have some white Gentile yokel, preferably Anglo-Saxon, as front man, and have him surrounded by the real manipulators of power, all Jews. If we take a look at the bureaucrats in control in Washington as of the summer of 1975, we find Gerald Ford, a white Gentile, acting as a stooge and frontman. He is surrounded by Henry Kissinger, a Jew who is Secretary of State and also the Director of the National Security Council. In these two offices, the fate and security of the nation hangs in balance, yet it is in the hands of a Jewish communist traitor whose loyalty is to Israel, to communism, and to the Jewish worldwide network. But this is only the beginning. Head of the Defense Department is a Jew by the name of James Schlesinger. The head of the Treasury Department is a Jew by the name of John Simon. Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board is a German-born Jew by the name of Arthur Burns, alias Bernstein. Ford's financial advisor is a Jew by the name of Seidman. The federal insurance advisor is a Jew by the name of Bernstein. Press secretary to the president is a Jew by the name of Ron Nessen. Ford's chief speechwriter is a Jew by the name of Friedman. Head of the Economic Council is a Jew by the name of Alan Greenspan. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare is a Jew by the name of Caspar Weinberger. The Attorney General's office is in the hands of a Jew by the name of Levy. Even Betty Ford's secretary is a Jewess by the name of Mrs. Weidenfeld. They make sure they have all the bases covered and leave no nerve center of power occupied by one and not of their tribe. The cast of characters changes constantly and has changed by now, but it is always a Jewish cast. Now, so far, we have been analyzing the problem. But what is the solution to the disastrous and sinister calamity which the white race finds itself boxed into today? Are we doomed to mongrelization and extinction the Jews have scheduled for us like they did the Romans? Or is there any hope whatsoever that the white race will awaken, shake off its stupor, organize, and forcefully seize control of its own destiny? We of the Church of the Creator say that we can free ourselves from the sinister vice in which we are now locked, and that we can regain control of our own destiny. We must. It is a matter of life and death. That we are in a horrible dilemma, there is no doubt. In 1920, the white race of the world was outnumbered only 2-1 by the colored and mud races of the world. Today, it is outnumbered 12-1 and rapidly shrinking, while the mud races are exploding at an unprecedented rate, engulfing the white race even in their traditional homelands, such as America and England. The Jewish United Nations gleefully predicts that in another generation, the white race will be outnumbered 49-1. At the rate we are going, that will most surely happen, and by that time, it will be too late. Reduced to impotence, the white race will be massacred by the flood tide of mud races at a given signal from the Jews. For generations, the mud races have been goaded and incited to hate whitey all over the world and will be eager, ready, and willing to slaughter us as soon as they have the upper hand, and especially as the struggle for food becomes more critical. We of the Church of the Creator are convinced that we can stave off this horrible disaster, and we have the creed and the program to do it with. Had the Romans possessed it, the Jews would never have had a chance. Had the Romans had a racial religion like creativity instead of their meaningless gods and spooks, what a different world this would be today. Instead of a world rapidly degenerating into chaos, flooded by a starving mass of mud people who cannot cope, and a world exploited by the Jewish network, we would today have instead a beautiful world populated by a creative, productive, culture-loving white race. It would be a beautiful world minus niggers, Jews, or hordes of subhuman mud races. The genetic, cultural, and technological progress that would have evolved in the ensuing 1,500 years since the Romans perished would be a marvel to behold, something that can only tax our wildest imagination. Such a world as the Romans would have built had they marched forward with a strong racial religion is the goal of the Church of the Creator. It is not too late. What we need today is a completely new direction, a powerful new religion for the white race, a religion based on the superlative value of our race. In creativity, we have such a religion. The central core of our religion, creativity, is the survival, expansion, and advancement of the white race and the white race alone, to the exclusion of all others. We are taking the most salient page from the history of the Jews. The golden rule of the Church of the Creator reads, "What is good for the white race is the highest virtue. What is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin." Period. Organized and united, The white race is 10 times more powerful than all the Jews, niggers, and mud races of the world combined. We of the Church of the Creator mean to organize that awesome potential of white power for the benefit of the white race. We mean to put every white man in the position where he will have to openly take a stand, either for the white race by word, deed, and action, or be exposed as a dastardly traitor to his race. There will be no Mr. In-Betweens. Whereas it is impossible to set forth our entire creed and program in this limited dissertation, we want to urge you to read and reread the Bible of our religion, Nature's Eternal Religion. It consists of 508 pages and 49 chapters. It is divided into two parts. The first half is entitled The Unavenged Outrage and sets forth the problem. The second half is entitled The Salvation and blueprints the solution to the problem. The whole book can be considered the creed and program of our religion, namely creativity. I have said that it is the core of our creed to advance the welfare of the white race, to expand it until we ultimately inhabit all the good land of this fertile planet, and above all, to keep our race pure, to advance it to ever finer genetic levels. In no way does this imply waging wars of extermination against the mud races, should this be your impression. Nor do we want to enslave any other race. We mean to pursue the same program of expanding the white race as the white race pursued in the winning of the West and the building of America. We mean to apply the American way to the winning of the world. The essential part of our program is racial loyalty, providing for the best interests of our own people, the white race. It is our unalterable position to stop subsidizing, feeding, aiding and abetting the scum and parasites of the world that are now devouring our productivity and consuming our largesse. Just as the inferior American Redskins were not able to compete with the white settlers, so the mud people of the world are not able to compete. It is only because of Jewish control and the perverted sense of confused loyalty that the white race is now shrinking its own, feeding and expanding the mud races to where the very survival of the white race is now in dire jeopardy. It is stupid, idiotic, and suicidal to shrink our own and expand our enemies. We of the Church of the Creator mean to reverse this process. We mean to practice white teamwork, racial loyalty, to expand the white race and to shrink the numbers of the mud races by letting them shift for themselves. We mean to expand our numbers and our territory in the same way that the white man did throughout the world during the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. The first phase of winning our fight for survival lies in bringing the white man's thinking back to sanity. The biggest obstacle we have to overcome is not the Jews, the niggers, and the other mud races, but first of all, straightening out the white man's confused thinking. In order to survive, the white race needs a new creed, a new philosophy, in short, a completely new religion. The white man's thinking must shake off the Jewish cancer that has beclouded his mind for the last 2,000 years and face reality. That is what the religion of creativity is all about. It is based on reality. It is not based on pie in the sky when you die, nor fry in the sky when you die. Nor is it based on a fantasy world of spooks in the sky to whom we might vainly implore, plead, and pray for our welfare. No, we are done with all that superstitious and primitive nonsense, and throw it all overboard. Our religion is based on reality, the laws of nature, which are eternal, which are real, which always have been the same and always will be. And one of the highest laws that nature has spelled out to us, as to every other creature, is the survival of our own kind. This law transcends all others. Had the Romans realized this, had they kept their race pure and pursued the survival, expansion, and advancement of their own race, this would be a far better and superior world today. There is much more to our program and creed. There are the 16 commandments of the Church of the Creator. There is the program spelled out in the chapter entitled The Road to Greatness. There is a picture of a bright new world of the future towards which we are striving. It is all contained in our Bible, Nature's Eternal Religion. I urge you not only to read it, but study it daily. There is much to be done if our great people are to survive. The first constructive thing you can do is to avail yourself of the book, read it, and then distribute it among your white racial comrades. The next thing you can do is to organize. Well, read the whole program in the White Man's Bible, Nature's Eternal Religion. Remember, to be skeptical and of an inquiring mind is no vice. To be gullible and superstitious is no virtue. And may today be the day when you take a stand for the white race, when you dedicate yourself and your future to the building of a whiter and brighter world of tomorrow. Thank you.